Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Apollo Hospitals Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call to discuss the financial results of Apollo Hospitals for the second quarter and H1 of FY23, which were announced yesterday. We have with us today the senior management team represented by Mrs. Suneeta Reddy, Managing Director. Dr. Hari Prasad is, Mr. A. Krishnan, Group CFO, Mr. C. Chandrasekhar, CEO of AHLL, Mr. Oberoi Reddy, CFO of the Pharmacy Division, and Mr. Sanjiv Gupta, CFO of Apollo 24/7. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion are forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note the disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties on slide 2 of the investor presentation shared with all of you earlier. Documents relating to our financial performance have been circulated earlier, and these have also been posted on our corporate website. I would now like to turn the call over to Mrs. Suneeta Reddy for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mayank. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking time out for this call. I hope you have received the documents which were shared yesterday. We have reported a strong all-round performance in quarter 2 FY23, with each of our distinct verticals building on the momentum of quarter 1 and demonstrating a very healthy growth and trajectory. Healthcare services IP volumes were 19% higher year-on-year and 13% quarter-on-quarter, while medical discharges increased during the quarter, reflecting the seasonal nature of the business. Surgical volumes also grew. In H1 FY23, IP volumes registered a growth of 24% year-on-year. Overall, quarter 2 FY23 occupancy across the group was 68% compared to 60% in quarter 1 FY23. The occupancy in mature hospitals was at 70%, in new hospitals at 64%. Our payer mix continued to improve, with cash and insurance segments registering a quarter-on-quarter improvement of 16% and a year-on-year improvement of 10% in revenues. Overall, our ARPOB was stable at 50,353 versus quarter 2, 51,999. Our loss was at 3.44 days. Against this backdrop, let me walk you through the consolidated financials for the quarter. Consolidated revenues grew by 22% on a year-on-year basis to 4,251 crores after normalizing for COVID vaccination revenue in quarter 2 FY22. Healthcare services grew by 12% year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter to 2,264 crores. Mature healthcare services grew by 15% and 10% quarter-on-quarter to ₹1,592 crore, while new hospitals grew by 4% year-on-year and 17% quarter-on-quarter to 673 crores. Revenue for Apollo Health and Lifestyle was ₹318 crores for the quarter, a 12% growth year-on-year after normalizing for COVID-related revenue, and 9% growth quarter-on-quarter. Apollo Diagnostics recorded its highest ever revenues this quarter and crossed the landmark of 100 crores. Quarter 2 FY23 revenues at 104 crores. 52% year-on-year growth after normalizing for COVID-related revenue and 28% growth quarter-on-quarter. Apollo HealthCo revenue grew by 43% year-on-year and 13% quarter-on-quarter to 1,668 crores. Private label sales contributed to 11% of the revenue in the pharmacy distribution business. We opened 241 net new stores this quarter, taking the total number of stores to 5,004. The GMV of our digital platform 24/7 was at 294 crores, a growth of 38% quarter on quarter. EBITDA. Quarter 2 consolidated EBITDA post India's excluding 24/7 operating costs stood at 740 crores. This is a 12% year-on-year and 17% quarter-on-quarter improvement. Healthcare services EBITDA post India's was at 571 crores, a year-on-year growth of 13% and quarter-on-quarter growth of 18%. Healthcare services EBITDA margins were at 25.2, a year-on-year expansion of 190 basis points and a quarter-on-quarter expansion of 129 basis points. Mature healthcare services margins are at 28.1%, an improvement of 312 basis points year-on-year. New healthcare services margins were at 18.4%. Apollo Health and Lifestyle EBITDA was at 38 crores, a 28% growth on quarter-on-quarter. Pharmacy distribution EBITDA, post-India's 116, was at 131 crores and margins at 7.84 crores. Apollo 24/7 operating cost was at 174 crores for quarter 2 FY23. This includes a non-cash ESOP charge of rupees 22 for the quarter. Consolidated reported EBITDA was at 565 crores due to an impact of 24/7 operating costs as compared to the EBITDA post India's of rupees 615 crores in quarter 2 FY22 and rupees 491 in quarter 1 FY23. PAT. Consolidated PAT is at 220 crores prior to adjustment of a one-time capital gains charge of 16 crores. Operating metrics of 24/7. Our digital health platform 24/7 continues to witness strong momentum. It now has 20 million registered users and completes over 50,000 omni-medicine deliveries per day, in addition to the 5,000 virtual consults and diagnostic sample collections. The GMV run rate is firmly on track to deliver 1,500 crores for this fiscal, and we will be the number 2 digital player in the country. We continue to see steady rationalization in loyalty costs and discounts and expect them to trend lower going forward. Looking ahead on our healthcare services business, there is headroom for growth in occupancy, and we hope to see occupancy closer to 70% over the next 12 months. This will unlock operating leverage and will further strengthen margins. We expect payer mix to consolidate, international business to grow with our focus on our centers of excellence, which will drive high-end clinical work. Our cost and productivity initiative will improve margins by 100 to 150 basis points over the next 18 months. On retail health, our specific focus is on primary care and diagnostics. We expect the diagnostics business to reach 500 crores of revenue by the next fiscal and achieve 1,000 crores of top line over the next 3 years. We believe we have the depth of clinical understanding to deliver the high-end diagnostic testings and will therefore be a reference unit for hospitals from around the country. Our pharmacy distribution business will sustain its momentum and margins. Apollo 24/7 is already the fastest growing healthcare platform in this part of the world and is poised to break new ground in terms of a seamless continuum of clinical care that it will offer to the consumers. In our view, we have created 4 robust pillars, each one with an independent value proposition and positive forward trajectory. But most importantly, we are a 360-degree healthcare ecosystem, and the pillars are interconnected in a way that offers limitless potential for synergies and to integrate the healthcare offering holistically for the consumer. We believe strongly in the network effect and that our work on touching so many lives in our hospitals, pharmacies, retail, and digital health business will create a strong understanding of our consumers. and help forge deep relationships with all. Above all, we have an unparalleled track record on being clinically oriented at our core, and we believe that this is what differentiates us significantly and sets up our positive outlook. On that note, I would like to hand over to the moderator. I have our CFO Krishnan with me, Obul Reddy from the pharmacy, Chandra from the from Apollo Health and Lifestyle, and Sanjeev from 24/7 with me to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My first question is on Apollo 24/7. Can you also share the revenue number booked as per the GMV that has been recorded in this particular quarter?
Sanjeev, you have the number?
Sanjeev?
Yeah, so for the quarter, 294 crore was the GMV that we did, and the revenue we got recorded is 158 crore. This is a part of two things. You know, one is the online pharmacy distribution and plus the service revenue that we earn on the consultation and the diagnostic side. So 158 crore, this is 294 crore of GMV for the quarter.
So this 158 is what we recorded in Apollo HealthCo. If you look at the overall, if you look at APL, that would be a higher number. Because what we record in is only the distribution part of it, which is around 80% of what we typically record in Apollo Pharmacies Limited.
So this 158 crore revenue, that includes a take rate on the direct sales scope, plus also the distribution in association with those revenues. Am I reading it right?
That's right.
Yes. Okay. And also, can you share what is the broad breakup of the 150 crores of operating costs with regards to 24/7 in this particular quarter?
Yeah, sure. So typically the scale that we have today, which is a 1500 crore run rate, annualized run rate, primarily we are spending on two important elements. One is the product and tech development, and I think this will continue for another 2 to 3 quarters, which is about 25 to 30% of the cost, which goes into building up the product and tech. Secondly, we are also building up the operations network or let me put this way, capacity, something like, Mumbai. We are putting up our dark stores. And so this operations capacity takes about 30 to 35% of the cost today. And apart from that, we are also putting money into clinical engine support systems and various other, the new verticals, the new revenue segments which are going to come, it could be in the range of about 10 to 15%. Apart from that, another 10% goes into the support cost and the balance gets into the user acquisition and the branding.
Right. And what is the difference in discounting between online and offline for you?
So, as far as the online discounting is concerned, we maintain, what we discussed in the previous call also, that today we are at about 18% as far as the online discount is concerned, although in the market you've got very high numbers, which are being, pushed by various competitors, but we continue to maintain our position of providing service and, continuum of care versus playing the discount card. As far as the offline is concerned, the discounts are in the range of about 13 to 13.5%.
So the difference between the two discounts, if a sales is booked on an online channel, that is also part of this operating cost of 24/7, right? Or which is basically the customer acquisition cost in some sense.
Yeah, the entire customer acquisition cost is part of the expenses that we are talking about.
Sure. Understood. And one final question, if I may please. What's the timeline on the Gurgaon hospital acquisition that has been done? I mean, how far are we from commercialization of that facility?
It will take 18 months. We have started work.
Okay, got it. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for taking my question. Just the first one on the new hospitals, just in terms of the YOY performance, excluding vaccination also around 4% when the otherwise it's 12% for the group. So what's happening there? Is it just occupancy seem to be down, but just wanted to get your color on the slower growth rate and when will this likely start inching towards more corporate level?
So in terms of the new hospitals, I think some of them witnessed a slowdown, but they are actually, if you look at October, they're back on track. We have put more clinical specialties there. So initially, you know, we did not have the type of offerings that we would have in a Tier 1 city. So we've added this, and this will take a little bit more time to pick up. In the prior year, we did have COVID occupancy, which is why, you know, if you remove the COVID occupancy, there is growth. And we, you know, we are quite hopeful that with the pickup of insurance, that more people now have access into Tier 2 hospitals. So we firmly believe that, you know, the 18% margin that the new hospitals delivered will improve significantly by another 200 basis points in the next 12 months.
So in the base also, you know, what happens in the new hospitals is because there was this COVID, we didn't exclude COVID revenues at all, right? So we only excluded the vaccination to show you the like-for-like growth. COVID revenues also had a lot of inbuilt hospital-based pharmacy component. So if you look at the volumes that these hospitals are doing now, we are quite, we know that the volumes are doing well. And, you know, even the surgical volumes are picking up, as Ms. Sunita said. You have to rebase that for that, you know, in the base year. The base year had this hospital-based pharmacy element in the COVID because COVID had more medications on even on medical discharges than some of the others, which is why, you know, it looks as 4%. But you will look as you go forward, you will see that it will start doing better.
Yeah, Krishan, just the guidance of 70%, so we also expect new hospitals to kind of reach that number over time, right?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Second question, and I can get back in the queue after that, is in the diagnostic services. Non-COVID revenues have grown 52%. So if you see some of the other listed peers have been struggling, right? 6-7% for them organically. So can you also comment about the general chat around competitive intensity in the diagnostic services space? Where are you able to grow? Is it network expansion that's helping you? Is there any sense of same store growth for you as well? It would be helpful. Thank you.
Shikha?
Yes, ma'am. I'll answer that. As you rightly pointed out, I think we are going from slightly lower base, so hence we continue to have network expansion led growth on a same shop basis. While it may not be exactly accurate, but thereabouts the growth is over 15% at this point of time, 15-20% kind of range at this point of time, and we continue to keep growing our network, which will add because we are in the mode of market saturation. On competition intensity, I guess the competition intensity does affect us in the routine testing box, where we are seeing this a little. But then our own journey has clearly been on moving across the curve in terms of specialized and semi-specialized testing. And towards that, we have made arrangements to move our testing menu upward from the routine basket. So it does affect us, but we are having other strategies to ring-fence that.
And this 15% same store growth, would it be volume, price, any color there?
Volume, we are holding prices. We are not dropping prices, but we are also not increasing prices.
Got it, yeah. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harit Ahmed from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. For the combined pharmacy business, you have disclosed posting days EBITDA of 167 crores. Will you be able to share the pre-days EBITDA for the business, for the combined pharmacy business?
Sorry?
Pre-EBITDA.
We'll come back to you. We don't have it with us now.
We will share with you offline.
Yeah, sure. And on the Amazon partnership, can you provide an update of the current number of orders per day or the GMV from that alliance? And the revenue with Amazon, where exactly does this sit? Is it entirely in the front end, or is there an impact of this on the back end health co numbers as well?
Yeah, so thank you, Vishay. So, so Amazon, I think, you know, we are on the path, you know, of building up the entire tech integration between, you know, their systems and our systems. So, you know, we are still hoping to complete this by December. So I don't see that, you know, any challenge with respect to any delay over there. So I think once the entire customer journey is integrated between the two platforms, you know, then probably the numbers will also, or the orders will also start going up, because Amazon will also start doing a little bit of ATL, BTL and the other digital initiatives. At this stage, you know, we approximately get about 1,200 to 1,500 orders per day. And this is essentially in, you know, places like Mumbai and Kolkata, where we are doing the pilots. These pilots are to just ensure that the integration has happened well, the experience on, you know, end-to-end, you know, from booking to delivery is as per the standard. So this is a pilot stage, number one. Number two, yes, as far as the sales is concerned, or the revenue side is concerned, revenue gets booked into front-end, which is Apollo Pharmacy Limited, and to the extent 80% of that gets booked into pharmacy distribution in Apollo Health Group.
And the revenue share with Amazon, that is entirely at APL, or is there a component of that in Apollo Health Co. As well?
Yeah, so the revenue share is only between Apollo Pharmacy Limited and Amazon.
Okay, understood. And last one from my side on the AHLL. 100 crores revenues that we have in the diagnostics business for the quarter, is this reported net of revenue share with Apollo 24/7?
Yes.
Okay. And I know there's a decline in margins on the primary care side. The quarter-on-quarter decline is just quite sharp. We used to have mid to high teens margin run rate in that segment, and this quarter it's at 8%. Any particular reason that you would want to call out?
No, there are some one-offs, and this particular fixed cost enhancement is not going to remain. So we will revert back to the earlier trends.
All right, got it. Thanks.
So unique only to this quarter, but we have the visibility on getting that correct.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So last quarter, your surgical revenue, I think, was around 68% of the total revenue. And I think it was around 60% during COVID time. So could you share what would it be in this quarter, and what is the headroom that you see?
It would be in the same range. It would be a bit lower this time because, you know, we had some medical volumes also. There was a surge in some medical percentage overall. But, you know, it will be around the 65% range.
Right. And should we, maybe the next 1 or 2 years, should we expect it to be around this level?
Yes, yes. It will continue to be at this level. There could be an upward bias also on this, as especially in the when the new hospitals, in particular the surgical mix, goes up, which is the focus. Because in our most mature clusters, if you look at places like Chennai, they would be closer to 75%.
Right. Okay. And as far as your payer mix goes, has there been any sort of material improvement from pre-COVID days?
It's been from pre-COVID days. Yes, it has definitely been it has improved significantly, because both the the retail, which is the cash payment, as well as insurance, has seen a good uplift. Insurance is over 42% of our revenues now, which was closer to 35%, and that is a good uplift on that. The overall institutional business has also come down, so which is what is visible from the pre-COVID days. And now we are it's stable versus Q1.
Sure. And just lastly, I think you did mention what the online discounts for medicine are currently. But we have seen their online peers discount levels at around 18% to 20%. So maybe let's assume 6 months or 12 months down the line, this is the norm for the industry. So should we also expect your discounting to go up?
No, I think more than discount, the customer is also looking at the other aspects of the order, which is to do with no split, which is to do with getting the entire SKUs in one go and the right quantity and at the right time. We Apollo 247 has been the pioneer in delivering the entire orders in 2 hours, and that is what got copy pasted by competitors out there. We strongly believe, and this is what customer retention ratios and the data also suggests, is that while we are low on the discounts, the competition gives 20-22%. We are managing between 17.5% to 18%. Customers are not walking away from our platform, and I think we do not believe that our discounts will go up. In fact, given that our service levels are extremely well. And customers are loving it. Customers are there is a very high repeat. There is a possibility to maintain or lower the guard by maybe another 50 basis points. That is how we look at as far as the discounts are concerned.
That's interesting. Okay, thank you, and all this.
The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, can you update us on the international patient segment? How has been the pickup, where it has come back compared to pre-COVID level, etc., and how do you see it moving ahead?
So, it has not yet reached the levels of pre-COVID. What has happened is that in some cities, it's back. But having said that, I have to say that connectivity has just about opened up, and we hope to see quarter three and quarter four much better. Currently, it's at 6% of revenues, and our target was 10% of revenues for this year, moving on to 15% the next year. But in terms of revenues, it is ahead by 27%.
Pre-COVID, in terms of revenue. Okay, got it. My second question is on your AP and Telangana cluster. So there, what we have seen in past two quarters, performance has been muted. This quarter, revenues declined 15% and ARPOB around 20%, whereas the IP volume continued to grow at 15%. And occupancy also improved. So can you just elaborate, like, what is happening on that particular segment?
So there has been a pruning on the some of the institutional cases there in that segment, because in that region is where we have more bulk of the state government cases, etc. there, and we have been pruning it down to improve on the profitability overall. That has been part of our plan also. Which is why you are seeing that come off.
Okay, so when, like, you are likely completing this pruning process and then coming back on track?
It's already done now. It's already done. If you look at Q2 overall net revenues have gone up versus the Q1. In this sector, it was 315 crores in Q1. Now it's 356 crores in Q2. So clearly now it's well behind. Even the ALOS is back in the company level of 3.6 approximately.
Okay, and my final question is on your cost trajectory for 24/7. So did you mention you will continue at around 1.5 billion for next two quarters? So earlier you mentioned this quarter somewhere cost will be 5.4 billion. So it will likely exceed, right? And then if you can comment on the ESOP also, like what are these charges related to?
Okay. So yeah. So I think as far as the expensive side are concerned, let me just refresh what we discussed last time. Last quarter, we had 1,000 crore of outlook for the year, which we increased to 1,500 crore of GMV. And we marginally increased our expenses by about 15%-20%. We thought that instead of this is a time to build these chains, this is a time to invest a little bit more behind people as well as the technology. And I think we strongly believe that we should be able to close the year with less than 600 crore as far as the overall expense line is concerned. So I think between 575 crore-600 crore, that should be the number for the expenses as far as 24/7 operating cost is concerned. Second, on the ESOP, so this is a phenomenon with all the startups where the leadership team as well as some of the key resources in the company have got ESOPs. The team was approved, and we gave ESOPs on 31st of July. And this cost is pertaining to the 2 months. This is as per accounting standard. It's a non-cash expense. And 22 crore is the charge for the last quarter.
Will similar level continue, or this is something one-off?
No, this will continue. This is a charge over a period of the vesting period. So I think this will continue quarter on quarter.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in with you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lavanya from UBS. Please go ahead. Lavanya, please go ahead with the question. Your line is unmuted.
Oh, sorry. I was on mute. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, and thanks, ma'am, for the good set of numbers. And my question is on Apollo 24/7 and the overall GMV. So can you help us understand what is the split of pharma and diagnostics and consultation in the overall GMV for?
For the quarter? Yeah, yeah. That's okay. So out of 300 crore or 294 crore, we have 240 crore for the pharma, and diagnostic and consultation is about 25 crore and 30 crore respectively.
Okay. So here, the revenue of 158 crore, it includes online distribution for pharma and the take rate for all the segments or only pharma for 24/7?
Yeah, the first one. So it includes the take rate for all the sections plus the online pharmacy distribution.
Okay. Got it. And also on the employee cost, there is a sharp hike in employee cost. So is there any one-off in this particular quarter, or is it something like the same levels which is going to sustain in the upcoming quarters also?
Looking at the consolidated numbers, is it?
Right. The consolidated numbers.
Consolidated numbers, two things, right? One is we have the increment setting in the current quarter from July across the company. So typically, that is when the increments get factored in. So the results that we are given is after factoring in the impact of the increments, etc. And also, the 24/7 ESOP charge is part of the employee cost, which is the 22 crore, which is a non-cash charge, which we have already told you, which will continue to be there beyond this quarter for at least a couple of years.
Okay. Okay. So this ESOP-related cost, that will be there for how many quarters? Any guidance there?
It will continue for 3 years.
Okay. For 3 years.
At the vesting period.
Okay. So employee cost will sustain at this level overall for the consolidated level, right? So there's no one-off anything?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. So AHLL, you mentioned there is some one-off related to the primary care business. So can you quantify that, any broad number, and how do you see the margins moving for the overall AHLL segment in the coming quarters?
Chandra?
Chandrasekhar?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am, I'm answering that. The current aggregate AHLL level, we are seeing the margin at about 12%. If you look at it and break it across the various segments, diagnostics is in the 12 to 14% mark. And primary care had would be around the 4 to 5% mark at this point of time if you exclude those one-off additional expenses that we've incurred. And these are on account of primarily a ramp-up of network, which essentially drew some, we have set up a very robust network growth, so which resulted in some additional hiring and additional costs, which will even out in the coming quarters. So we will get back to the 5-6% mark and hopefully increase it up to the 10% mark in the primary care level. Specialty care is delivering in the region of 11 to 15% and will continue to do so. At an aggregate level, we are hoping to inch up the 12% to the 15% mark and onward. Our margins in the diagnostics are slated to continue to be at this level for a while as we keep growing and investing. But then we will aspire to reach the industry benchmarks in the 20 plus in the years to come. But we are currently in the next 2 to 3 years will be consistently growing our network, and hence there will be some evening out on our EBITDA margins.
Okay, so if I understand right, at the overall AHLL level, the margins likely to remain at the same.
So 12% may improve a little bit to the 15% mark. We are hoping to improve it to the 15% mark.
Okay, got it. And on the healthcare business, how are you seeing this current ongoing quarter going on? Do you see any seasonal weakness, or how is it going, like overall hospital business?
So the trend generally is, you know, that the holidays, the four holidays that were in October, in 4 days, so October was somewhat muted, but we're getting back on track, and November and December should do really well.
Okay, got it. And my last question is on institutional patients. You mentioned that you're consistently reducing that with, like in Telangana and AP. So is it completely done, or you're still working on reducing institutional patient proportion on the overall base? Anywhere else is any work going on reducing?
It's an ongoing process across the company. We will keep looking at that options of, you know, across, because especially with some of this newer perspectives from CGHS, where, you know, even pharmacies are getting discounted, it may be difficult for us to sustain that in some of the places where we give CGHS prices even for some of the PSUs. So we keep looking at it and seeing whether that is there is opportunities to prune that. In AP and Telangana, bulk of it is behind us is what I meant.
So there's only 1% of our revenue that is coming from CGHS currently.
So overall institutional, what is the percentage of revenue at this point of
time? CGHS is 1%. State government schemes is 2%. Which is also, you know, like Ayushman Bharat. Public sector, 7%.
Okay, got it. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll come back in here. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Ma'am, one on the mature hospitals margin. You were already at, you know, 27-28% margin if I look at the first half numbers. Is this number sustainable? And, you know, we've managed to grow it, you know, year on year quite well. So incrementally, how much of this is dependent on ARPOB improving given where capacity utilization already is for the mature hospitals?
So I think there are three factors that come into play. The first is case mix. And as we move to a higher-end case mix, ARPOB improves. The second, if you're thinking about in ARPOB and margins improve, the second is that, you know, when you look at margins, the minute when we increase international patients, we will continue to see an improvement in margins. The third, of course, is cost. And we are looking at 100 to 150 basis points improvement coming from cost over the next 18 months. So there will be a structural improvement. And all this will contribute to definitely a growth in 150 basis points growth in margins over the next 18 months. And of course, you know, occupancy matters because it certainly leads to better margins and better revenue and better profits.
Understood. And second question on the RPOB, you know, our metro RPOBs of over 60,000. Is there, other than case mix, does this improvement include any price adjustments that we have taken during the year? Is that done for the year?
Yes.
Yes, it's taken and done.
Understood. So that's factored into the numbers that we are seeing in the quarter?
Yes.
Okay. And my last question on Apollo HealthCo. Ma'am, in your interview this morning, you mentioned about, fundraising in Apollo HealthCo by the end of this calendar year. If you could give us an update on that?
The financial year for, not the calendar year, but it would be more of the calendar year, which is March 31st, we will be able to do it.
Okay, so there would be fundraising in the digital business by the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah, fiscal year.
Understood. And that would mean our ability to increase the spend, in the digital business in FY24. Would that understanding be right?
Sanjeev.
No, I don't think that. No, yeah, I don't think that the fundraise would mean that we need to spend more. I think, we have our own, a path to profitability, and I think we are on that course. By no means, the fundraising is going to, increase our expenses. With the fundraise, we might look into some kind of an acquisition because that is what we have been thinking through to speeden up the process. But no increase in the expenses.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much and good afternoon, everyone. Just taking from the previous participant, any change in the earlier planned fundraise, which was roughly $500 million, kind of an inflow?
Yes, Sameer. I mean, I think across the world, no one is raising that much money at the current market price, which does not factor in the true value of the assets or the revenues. So we are only looking at $200 million right now.
Oh, I see. Okay. And what happens to the slump sale, 1,200 crore flow back into the parent company?
That will be in the next tranche at a better valuation.
Okay, got it. And the second round would be, anytime in the foreseeable future, or that's something for the later?
You know, I give you a number now, you'll hold me to it, a number and a date. But let's cross this first threshold, and then you'll see value build up in 24/7, because it is the fastest growing health digital platform.
Okay, got it.
Lot of interest. Having said that, I do have to say we have a lot of interest. It's for us to take it at the right valuation and at the right time.
Okay, that's fine. And the second is on the brick and mortar expansion in pharmacies. So there, I think you've already done 450 plus kind of store ads in first half. I think a full year target was 500. So if you can just talk about it, and thanks for the math that you provided. So looks like the Central India is something that you have not tapped at all. So your thoughts on that?
We are now planning about 800 stores expansion for the current year, and part of the new stores we will move into Central India. Except in two states, we are there everywhere. Madhya Pradesh is the only place where we don't have presence, and in other states we just started, and we will ramp up in the next 2 years.
Okay, that's great. And just on the hospital side, good to see ALOS now stabilizing around 3.4. So that's really commendable. And do you think you're going to maintain at this level? And second is on occupancy. Practically speaking, at a hospital level, what's the sort of upper limit to where you can take it?
So, first on ALOS, I think 3.4 is a reasonable ALOS. But because we've introduced robotic surgery, we're seeing ALOS come down. So in 25% of our business, it's only about, it's less than 2 days. So as this grows, as the segment grows, we do believe there will be a further reduction in ALOS. But this will take another 2 years to see significant improvement or anything that we can really talk about. Occupancy, I think, Apollo is probably the only one that has headroom to grow. You can easily take it up to 82-83%, and we believe that we are working towards this. We have 2,000 beds that we can fill, and like I said earlier, whatever we do is margin accretive, profit, good for EBITDA, good for revenue, and profitability. But our target this year is 70%. On a group-wide basis, and I think we're moving close to achieving that target.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shalin Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I think most of my questions have been answered. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and good afternoon. First question is on, there was a news flow on the CCI probe for a few of the hospital names. Could you confirm that Apollo also received that? And if yes, what is our course correction here? And if not, I just wanted to understand how should we build ARPOB? You gave a good clarification on case mix, payer mix, etc. But how should we build in ARPOB for the next 2 years?
So on the CCI thing, it's only relevant for Indraprastha, where Apollo Hospitals holds 25% shareholding. With regard to ARPOB, definitely the way that we look at it is, it's a function of case mix. It's a function of payer mix. And we've shown an improvement in payer mix. And the third is ALOS. So, I think these three levers are what we use. International patients coming back will definitely show an improvement in our ARPOB.
And in line with inflation, what is the price hike?
A factor of 7% in that if it was a pass, and I think with the inflation and this, broadly around the 7% is fine to go with.
Okay. No, but I was trying to understand on the price hike that we annually take it. So inflation is now high single digit. So do we take it in line with inflation, or ours is a gradual 3-4% kind of annual hike on the pricing part?
On healthcare, inflation is 5%. And we've absorbed that in the price.
Okay, got it, fair enough. And secondly, some more color on the brownfield and greenfield. So you talked about Gurgaon, which is 24 months out. But what are the mid to near term kind of opportunities we are looking at, especially on the brownfield side, if any?
For us, unlike some of the others, we clearly have headroom for growth in our existing businesses itself. With the creation that we have already done of the assets and 68% occupancy that we have, we can clearly take that to the 72 and 75. Proton is a big opportunity. It's doing well. We can take it, we can double the revenues in Proton over the next couple of years. We still have high potential in taking New Bombay higher. So all of that itself is significantly higher, right? While brownfield is one that, you know, we are looking in Bangalore in particular, but with that and in Mysore, we have also Bhubaneswar. Some of those are opportunities which will come earlier, but with that, more than that, you know, our focus is to increase the revenues in the existing hospitals, look at seeing how we can grow oncology further. You know, we are the largest oncology revenue in the country today. We would like to further grow that. So we are focusing on some of those specialties to see how growth can come within the healthcare services revenues itself at a faster pace.
So just in addition to that, we are adding, I mean, if you look at Gurgaon, Bangalore, what we're doing in Chennai, and, you know, what we plan to do in Calcutta, we are adding 2,000 beds over the next 3 to 4 years at a cost of 3,000 crores.
Okay, lovely. And some more color on this 24/7 kind of fundraise, etc. We talked about, you know, plan for around 200 million now. So is it that, you know, the stake sale on that entity would be around 10% or it is now reducing?
So it would be roughly around that or lower, right? Because if you look at it, our focus is to get a, we continue to be focused on the 2.5 plus billion valuation that we have been talking of. And even though, you know, valuations across have come down, here our delivery has far outperformed what we had in our plan.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get. So it would be around 2.5 plus minus, right?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay, lovely. Okay, great. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So on the offline pharmacy business, since we've upped the you know, the expansion target now, how should we look at the network size, say, in another 2 to 3 by FY25?
We should continue to add at least 500 stores per annum, and we'll see that, you know, we'll be about 6,500 stores by 2025.
And, Sadi, by the time, what kind of EBITDA margin should be there for the offline business?
See, the next, you know, as long as the expense needs, you know, continues, we will have some impact on the cost, cost impact on the profits. We expect to be around 6% on the combined business, 6 to 6.5%.
And just pure on the offline piece itself?
That's, I'm talking about offline.
So we are currently at about 7.9%.
That is on the back end what you are talking. What I said is about combined business. If you back end, continues to be at the same margin.
Okay.
Whatever impact you have on account of expansion will be on the front end side.
Right. And likewise on the online business, the GMV target that we have for this year about 1500 crores thereabouts that we are well set to exceed. How should we look at this number, you know, over the next couple of years?
Yeah. So I think you know, what we are targeting is that. You know, the next year should be in the range of about, you know, something like 3,000 to, I mean, at least we should do 2x, if not 2.5 to 3x of the, you know, current year numbers. Idea is to get to about $1 billion in 2 to 3 years' time.
Okay. And Sanjeev, what does it mean for the EBITDA of the Apollo 24/7 and the whole the piece on online pharmacy distribution on 24/7 when you start hitting a $1 billion number in say 2 to 3 years?
I think 2 to 3 years, you know, once we hit this particular, okay, let me just give you a little broad sense. You know, one is that, you know, at this scale, you know, when you hit about 7,000 to 8,000 crores, you know, you are able to make the digital business, which is, you know, one section of Apollo HealthCo, this business becomes break even, or in fact it starts giving a little bit of profit, while the back end business, you know, which could be roughly 4,000 crores, you know, in the Apollo HealthCo, that should give you about 8 to 9% as or maybe 10% at best as the EBITDA. So I think those are the, that is the mental model in which we are working, that, you know, next year we should make Apollo HealthCo as near break even, and FY 24-25 should be the year when we should strive to hit a scale of about 7,000 to 8,000 crores of GMV and make the digital segment also break even. And obviously, the pharmacy distribution business continues to grow and continues to show a healthy EBITDA margins of somewhere 9 to 10%.
Okay, thanks. And secondly, on the hospital piece, what kind of capex are we looking at the healthcare services business? So obviously, from a greenfield perspective, the only project we've shared discussed so far has been the Gurgaon project. What are the other projects and the kind of investments we're looking at, on the healthcare services part of it?
So, the recurring capex that we have, which is already known to you, is around 350 crores a year. That is what we will continue to work on. This is the recurring capex. And, the basis the 2,000 beds and the 3,000 crores that we are saying, broadly it would be split across 3 years.
But sir, in that, barring Gurgaon, which are the other projects we're talking about?
So we are looking at OMR, which is in Chennai. We are looking at, hopefully we will come soon to you on a couple of other projects that we are working on.
Okay.
So we are looking at Bangalore, as we have said. We are looking at Bombay. So we will come back on some of those soon.
Okay, and if I can squeeze in a last one, on the diagnostics, what is the geographical spread for a diagnostic business? So when it goes to a 1,000 crore number in next couple of years that we talked about, 2 to 3 years, what is it going to be a very South India focused business, predominantly South India focused business from a geographical footprint perspective, or a broadly Pan India?
Yeah, I will answer that. Current revenues are largely between South and East and getting into other zones minutely. We have made entries into the Bombay and the Delhi markets over the last 12 to 18 months only. So their contribution to the overall current revenues are minuscule in small single-digit percentages. We expect South and East to be a large contributor. South and East should be up around the 70% mark, with 30% coming from other markets, including some Central India, West in terms of Bombay, and North India. That will be the mix in the next couple of years.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Mananane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if you could share EBITDA for Proton.
EBITDA for Proton, we don't have it offhand now, but it will cross over 60 crores, 65 crores in this year.
So if I kind of do some back of the envelope calculation, so the new hospital's EBITDA margin has been pretty stable for past 3 quarters, while there has been a good improvement on the mature hospital. So that is where I'm coming from, that the new hospital's margin, how do we see the improvement in that segment?
You're right, and Proton will be one of the big contributors there too, because, clearly Proton, the potential of EBITDA is almost 200 crores, which is why I did say that, over the next couple of years, you will see good fillip coming from Proton itself, apart from some of the other hospitals that we are working on in New Bombay and, Vizag. These are two hospitals that have good potential compared to where they are delivering today.
Okay. And on the pharmacy side, the private label share has also been very stable at about 10.5-11%. So how do we plan to ramp up there, or scale up there?
We will see that scaling up because this is coming on the backdrop of COVID. At the COVID time, there are a lot of products which were contributing to the higher sales, and it was about 12.5%. We are at now 11%. We could see now growth coming back in the normal volume.
So at least in a year's time, we should be back to pre-COVID level, and then subsequently the further improvement.
Definitely, yes. In the next 12 months, you will see that we'll be at about 12 to 13%.
Okay, thank you. That's the thing.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nausha Chaudhary from Aditya Birla Sun Life. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Most are answered. Some clarification, sir. Firstly, on the discount trajectory last quarter, if I remember it correctly, we had indicated that in last quarter it was around 18%. We had indicated that we had taken 1% cut in July month, and we were expecting some 0.5% cut, and eventually we had guided around 16.5% to 17% in 2Q23. But as you said, in some of the question that it was at 18%. So should we see this number in next coming quarters, or can you comment on this, sir?
Yeah, so the discount has a factor of not many things in the, you know, and obviously you understand well, you know, there is an external environment, you know, which is kind of, you know, decide at some point of time, you know, what should be offered. I think yes, we brought it down for some period, you know, to be honest with you, we brought it down for some period to the level that we mentioned the last earnings call. But see, whatever is best for the organization and for the consumer side, I think we all should do, you know, all the time, right? So while lowering it down, you know, for some time, we realized that at least, you know, from the chronic patients, you know, chronic patient is something which is a valuable asset to the organization, and half a percent here and there does not, you know, kind of, if it's that chronic customer moves out of the system, is much more harmful to us versus a half percent, you know, here and there. And you've got the opportunities for cross-pollination and various other channels which are coming into the company. So while we lowered it down a little bit, we further increased it to maintain at 18%. As I said earlier, half a percent we can still play, but we'll be mindful to, you know, the external environment, and we'll take call which is good for the customer. You may expect that, you know, we retain 18% for another 2 months. At this stage, we are still doing 18%. So, but yes, I mean, it is something which is a moving needle. You know, we don't know what, how exactly, you know, the cohorts and the various other things, you know, behave. But yes, 18% or at best, you know, half a percent down.
Yeah, understood. Thanks for the clarification. Secondly, just a suggestion, sir. This time we have, you know, though we have given the 24/7 numbers in the presentation, but as last quarter we reported in our segmental reporting, we had given the separate line for 24/7, and just wanted to understand what is the rationale this time we have not given and we have clubbed it into a pharmacy distribution segment.
This is what we are given now is the full online pharmacy distribution and the Apollo 24/7. This is the correct representation of the 24/7 business, because the 24/7 business is getting the 294 crores GMV, and what we have now represented as 158 crores is what gets reported under the Apollo Health Co for the businesses generated by 24/7. So this would be a combination of the pharmacy backend, and it will have the service lead gen fees also, which is part of this. So that is how it will keep increasing, and this is the right representation of the 24/7 business to see how the profitability moves. And this is what clearly even Sanjeev guided as to how this will, over a period of time, the GMV can go from a 294 crores, which is an annualized 1500 crores, to a billion, and how that will be of 65% pharmacy and services, etc.
All right. And lastly, sir, if I'm reading it correctly, if I see sequentially in pharmacy distribution, we have seen some margin decline on a, because last quarter we had indicated around 20 crore rupees, we had some one-time cost in some infra building for Amazon deal, which I'm assuming would not be in this quarter, in a, and we removed 24/7 losses. So net-net on the core business, we have some sequential margin decline. If I'm reading it correctly, can you explain on that part, sir?
If you see that, you know, Q2 EBITDA levels versus Q1, it's just about 10-15 basis points. As Mr. Eccles Christian, CFO, said, we also have the employee cost coming in slightly additional in Q2, being the where we give increments. And then we have about 10-15 basis points, which is negligible, and we will be back with improvement in the volume.
Yeah, all right. That's it for myself. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yasha from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was regarding the GMV. In first half, we've done approximately 5 billion of GMV. and we are looking, we are targeting about 1500 crores for the whole year. So the rest 1000 crores in second half, can you give me some idea of like how are we targeting double of what we've done in H1?
So as we mentioned in the earnings call, you know, there are new business lines, you know, that we have created, which is around the, consultation led to hospital IPOP services. And the entire integration of, software and, touching that 24/7 with the hospital-based management system. So all that piece was done during Q2 and then some part of Q1. Now, IPOP is one particular service which we started seeing that up, as part of the continuous care, the customers do require that. And the current funding that's happening in October or what it was in October and some part of November suggests us that this particular vertical itself will give about 400 to 500 crores of additional GMV for the balance part of the year. And I think the current set of three verticals, which is the e-pharmacy, diagnostic, and consultation, they would continue to grow. They grew about 5x in Q2 versus Q2 of previous year, and in about 36% versus the previous quarter. So, and there are a lot many levers, that we still not, checked. We got hyper-local delivery in top 6 cities, which we are increasing to 17 cities. That would fuel the growth. And a lot of work that is happening on the other revenue segment. So I guess the October run rate as well as October GMV as well as the current run rate suggests that we will easily hit 1500 crore mark.
Okay. Thank you for that, sir. So my next question was regarding take rate in pharmacy and diagnostics business. As our volumes have increased, sir, have we been able to increase the take rates on both these business in both pharmacy and diagnostics as compared to previous quarter?
So, diagnostic take rate is basically the slab that we hit. So, this is any other, commercial discussion that happens between the two organizations. You have a slab-based, take rates. The minute you start hitting the upper slabs, you start getting more and more commission. And, the diagnostic business is increasing, quarter on quarter. So it is governed by the HR performance, and we already locked in the entire commercial dates, till FY23, and based on the the run rate in February of 23, we'll discuss the take rates for the next financial year.
Okay, sir. Sir, one very small clarification question regarding the CapEx. As we've guided 2,000 beds in the next 3 years, of which 675 beds will be in Gurgaon and 500 beds will be in Chennai. The multi-specialty. So between Mumbai and Bangalore, which we are planning right now, it will be another 1,000 beds. Is the understanding correct, sir?
So 675 would not be Gurgaon. Gurgaon will be more like 500, 550 beds to begin with. And 500 of OMR is broadly what we are looking at. Bangalore, we have the brownfield Bangalore expansion, which should help us get another 200 to 250 beds. And the the other hospital in Bangalore, we are looking at 400 beds.
Okay, so that leaves Mumbai with 400 beds.
Bombay would be another 400 beds in our plan.
Perfect, sir. Thank you for answering all the questions, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Rishabh Tiwari from Allegro Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had a clarification question regarding the Proton EBITDA. It was quoted around 60 crores. Is it for the quarter or for the half year? Because the last reported number that I can see for Q4 was around 14 crores.
So it would be for the full year, it would be almost around, so the half year it is, so I think it we are trending at around 65, I said. That didn't include the pharmacy, so over 75 to 80 crores is what the overall target for the year will be.
For the Proton, right?
That's correct.
The current, can you give me a ballpark number for the current that we are trading around half year?
40
it would be half of 70, say 35?
40 crores, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as this was the last question for today, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for taking time out for this call. We hope that we have convinced you that Apollo is the only integrated healthcare player in this part of the world. Our hospital business is on a very strong growth trajectory and will continue to grow. We will improve not only in revenues but margins, but most importantly, in the type of clinical offerings that we give to our patients. Apollo Health and Lifestyle, which is our primary care vertical, the focus on diagnostics and primary care clinics will continue, and this will give us, it will enlarge our patient base, it will increase revenues and therefore margins. Apollo Pharmacies, which is our retail play, is something where we've demonstrated strong growth, and they're on track for a 10,000 crore revenue target. All of this comes together with 24/7, and I think that the losses that we made here, which are close to 170 crores, you must think of it as an investment into the future, because there can be no healthcare institution without a digital platform. And I think that we have made the right decisions, and we continue to be optimistic and hopeful in our mission to really move healthcare closer to the patient, to create accessible healthcare, and to be sustainable. So thank you very much for taking time out for this call. Good afternoon.
Thank you. On behalf of Apollo Hospitals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.